We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Heyo. Welcome in to the CHGO White Sox postgame show. Coming to you live from various places around the Chicagoland area, getting ready to celebrate Caleb Williams becoming a Bear. I'm your host, Sean Anderson. You can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson alongside me, the full CHGO White Sox crew. Coming to you live from work, even though we're supposed to be remote today, Vinny Duber. You can follow him at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer.
I showed up and I'm like, where is everybody? Come on.
We told
you. I have the commitment to come into the office. Where is everybody? Where are you guys? You lazy bums.
Fake news. We have a text that proves you knew. So I think it just has to deal with somebody on the move, maybe not having cable set up yet.
Hey, I'm more of a Gen Zer than you are, even with my cord cutting.
Are you? You drove to work and wasted gas, and I guess I shouldn't say how I watched today's game. That's Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him at @Akronwall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. You can follow the show at @CHGO_White Sox. We're being produced today by Sarah.
Hi.
Hello. And Sarah's going to be out at the CHGO Bears draft party today on Joe's on Weed Street. We're excited. That is a sold out event, but I do think there's still tickets for Friday. So if you do want to go hang out and be a part of the fun, it seems like, hey, maybe they'll trade down and they might be picking up more picks for tomorrow's day. So come hang out with the CHGO Bears crew and have some fun. Herb, you're going to be there, right?
I will be there at 5 o'clock for the CHGO sports show.
What are you guys talking about?
Probably Williams. Oh no, never. If he even broaches the subject, I'm like, no, we can just skip to the next subject because I just talked to about them for an hour. How infuriating they are, even though I know they're going to lose each game.
We appreciate everyone hanging out with us. Make sure you're hitting that like button. Make sure you're subscribing to the CHGO Sports YouTube channel. I think we're getting close to the Lance Briggs subscriber number or the Carlos Rodon subscriber number. So if you haven't subscribed yet, make sure you are. I'm delaying the inevitable. The White Sox lose 6-3 to the Minnesota Twins. And not only did they lose today, they lost the day before. They lost Tuesday and they lost Wednesday. We've called it a vacuuming, but I put in the title today, mopped. Do we want to discuss that first? Sweep is losing a three-game series. Is it a vacuuming or, as Cespedes Family Barbecue, their podcast says, they call it a mopping. I kind of like mopping because after you sweep, you mop. Maybe you don't vacuum because it, you know.
I like kind of what we had because I think it's kind of on the same theme, right? A vacuuming is just kind of a more intense sweeping. Mop adds water. That becomes a whole different thing. Maybe if you were to get swept in a four game series by the San Francisco Giants and there were home runs that went into the water, that could be mm-hmm. you know, that because you're actually adding water in that situation. Maybe if it was a rainy 4 days. I also like the comment that Sarah flashed up there a little bit ago that said if you get swept by everybody in the division, is it called the street sweeping? Does that mean we all get huge parking tickets, though? Is that what that means? That's what I want to know.
And a vacuuming works well because one of the biggest vacuum companies, Hoover, and the White Sox absolutely suck today.
Okay. All right, I'll take that.
Insert insert groan. Insert audience groan.
I think the only thing that's missing, Alejandro, is just a sweep from the Guardians. They did get one. They've won, what, one game in the AL Central this year? That can't be right.
No, they beat the Royals. Beat the Royals one time. Yeah,
there we go.
They've only won one game on the road, I believe, and that was versus the Guardians.
That is correct, yes.
Yeah, and it's been fun. I mean, they had a chance in the Guardian series to win too, maybe win a series, but that hasn't happened yet. They'll get their next chance against Cleveland in May, and that's a four-game series. So, I mean, for a sweeping to happen, that will truly have to be or a mopping or a vacuuming. Herb's going to go with vacuum. We're going to stick to vacuuming. They'll have to lose a four-game series. Anyways, Sox get vacuumed by the Twins today. A little sour than the other ones. This one felt in hand. This one, for a team that usually doesn't have games that are in hand, Vinny makes a groan. Yeah, in hand is never with the 2024 White Sox, especially for a 3-22 team. But you go out to a 2-0 lead. You have Aloy being safe at home after Pilar hits a sac fly out to right field. And then DeJong has a 8-pitch single that drives in a run to make it 2-0. And Mike Soroka looked good through 5 innings. And then he faced 2 batters in the 6th inning. And that 2-0 lead quickly evaporated to a 2-2 tie. Why don't we pick it up there? It doesn't feel in hand. And it's just because the talent isn't there. Is that too harsh?
Well, it was also just a 2-0 game. I would, the idea is that a major league team should always be capable of erasing a 2-run lead. The White Sox obviously, have struggled offensively and made that not the case many times so far this season. But they were the ones with the 2-1 lead the 2-run lead rather at this point. But yeah, 2 pitches, man, boom, and that was over really quick. Michael Soroka was awesome through 5 innings, very efficient, which is something he has not really been so far this year. But all of a sudden, 2 home runs, back-to-back homers on 2 back-to-back pitches, and that lead was gone and he was out of the game. It really shows what this White Sox offense is doing to the pitching staff right now on a day like today, because how often have we talked over the last few years where it was like, oh, pitcher pitched a good game. All he made was 2 mistakes, 2 solo home runs, but it's okay. It was only 2 runs. You know, it was a good day for him all around. Here, 2 solo home runs on 2 bad pitches, and that's all that he had all day, and that's the game. You know, the White Sox obviously ended up adding a 3rd run in the 9th inning, but by then, 3 other home runs had been hit by the Twins, and that score was kind of not out of reach, but it was big enough that the White Sox couldn't close that gap. So tough for Michael Soroka on a day when he looked probably, do I want to say, the best he's looked in a White Sox uniform, at least through 5 innings. And then 2 mistakes. You'd like to think that a starting pitcher can survive 2 mistake pitches. But with the way this White Sox offense is right now, that was not the case.
And to speak to what you're saying, Vinny, is that 2nd inning, they start off with a walk and 2 singles. So bases are loaded, nobody out. They get 1 run out of that on a sacrifice fly from Kevin Pillar. Like that, those type of execution things are where are plaguing the White Sox right now, where they're not getting the easy runs in. Like the guy on the mound today, Woods Richardson, nothing special. Left the game early, but the White Sox don't have the offensive wherewithal to attack that guy and put up a big crooked number during that inning. And it was 2-0 for a while. And like you said, he cruises through 5 and then goes back out for the 6th. Fastball to Julian, gone. And then another, like, I didn't think the pitch to Jeffers was that bad. Just hung a little bit. And Jeffers just did the work himself. But then he's just out of the game. Like, I pitched that well throughout the game, 5 innings, and now it's tied. Like, it's got to be demoralizing to the pitching staff. And I know the hitters are trying to do things, but do better. Better execution. And if Pedro has to cook up something different, like the fast stuff has to come into fruition now where you have bases loaded. And then if you keep on seeing it not working, which the White Sox haven't been good with runners in scoring position in particular, Pedro's got to cook up something like he did last night.
Well, am I wrong to say that this is an ideal loss for the Sox? Like, you look at this Minnesota series, and obviously Monday's bad. You lose 7-0, but 6-5, 6-3, 6-3, especially today, you give up 4 solo home runs. Chris Getz was looking to improve the defense. This wasn't because of the defense. The offense, and these numbers were from Monday, had scored 50%, have scored one run or less in 50% of their games. They give you 3, right? Like, this is a game where you just maybe didn't have enough. And Herb, you're right. They had their chances, but again, the lack of talent on this team was apparent again today. And those numbers from Monday, the White Sox have scored 36.4% of zero runs in 36.4% of their games. One run, they've scored 13. I don't even know how to give this information out.
You need a pie chart is what you need, Sean.
It was a pie chart. I needed a pie chart. Why didn't I give Sarah a pie chart? In 36.4% of their games, they've scored zero runs. In 13.6% of their games, they've scored one run. In 18.2% of their games, they've scored two runs. And in 31.8% of their games, they've scored 3 or more runs. And that number has gone up because that was on Tuesday when that information was given out. So that's, you know, and they've scored 3+ runs in the past 3 games. And those have been losses. It's just like, I don't know, the Twins hit 4 homers and you didn't. And I mean, this team, especially with Aloy and Luis and Yuan being out, just kind of what's going to happen. This team is really bad. Like, you getting sweat. Like, I don't feel this bad after that, losing 4 straight games, just seeing the quality that we know this team could have. Like, the Philadelphia loss was, or the sweeping was worse than this series, right? We're just judging bad. I mean,
I think this is worse. No, Philadelphia was throwing their best pitchers at you pretty much. And they had their best.
Well, and hitters. They made like little leaguers, I guess. Like this one, they showed the grit and heart and toughness and fast that we wanted to see.
Like, Byron Buxton didn't play half of these games. I know he came in late this game, but he missed 2 out of the 4 games. You don't have Carlos Correa. You're missing also Royce Lewis, and they still dominated you. Like, you woke up Edward Julian. He's got like 3 home runs in this series. Miranda got his first home run, or not his first, his second home run. Santana got his first home run. It seemed like every Twin was sucking before this series started, and then they saw the White Sox like, let's go. Let's get right series, and that's what they did. They got right, and this is a more depressing loss, the 4 losses to the Twins, than the 3 to Philadelphia. I knew they were going to lose to Philadelphia. That's a better team. I'm not sure Minnesota's that much better, but they are a better team than the White Sox. And so to lose 4 in a row to that team in that place in particular, I think that's their 9th or 10th in a row they've lost in Target Field. It's just not good, because I don't think any of those pitchers were that spectacular. And I don't think that the hitters are that good before the White Sox saw them.
I mean, listen, it goes to show you how small the margin of error is with this team. I mean, you can phrase that any way you want. You, Sean, you're talking about a lack of talent. I'm sure many folks are just going to look at it and say, this team's bad. But, you know, the idea here is that the margin of error is so small because of the roster that this team has put together. Again, on purpose. These are the players. You know, I was reading something today which, you know, we were so overwhelmed by the injuries that happened to Yoan and Luis and at the time Aloy in the first week of the season. And it was like, oh my God, how is this happening in this short condensed amount of time? But if you know, now, with the exception of Yoan and Luis, they've got the 7 guys in that lineup that they want in that lineup on a regular basis. And it's just not working. And I think it shouldn't really be surprising that it's not working from an offensive standpoint. Obviously, this is a particularly ridiculous level of not producing that maybe we didn't see coming. But we saw a lack of production coming from this offense. And here you go, Sean, you laid it out the last 3 days. They get some runs, but the pitchers got to do their job too. I mean, they gave up 5 home runs today. Like, you're not going to win a lot of games in which your pitching staff gives up 5 home runs, no matter how many, you know, how relatively okay your offense does by its own standards. And then the last few nights we've been talking about bullpen blowups and, you know, a fly ball dropping here, a fly ball dropping there. Like, yeah, the whole season and these last 4 games included are on the offense. The offense isn't scoring enough runs. It's not a secret, but it's not like the rest of the team is Superman either. You know, I mean, the idea that this pitching staff has given up all these home runs in the last few days is kind of kind of crazy, kind of ridiculous. It's not supposed to be what this pitching staff was designed to do. It was designed to keep the ball on the ground and hit grounder after grounder to Nicky Lopez and Paul DeJong to have them throw out. Nicky Lopez and Paul DeJong can't play defense if the ball is going over the fence.
Absolutely. And two, just to recap the homers in the sixth, Julian hit a homer on a 2-0 count. Jeffers hit a hanging slider on the first pitch. Those two were given up by Soroka. And then I know Herb made a case to keep Leisure in. You can react to that after a second, after he gets a double play and a check ground out from Miranda in the sixth. I think he only threw four pitches. Brebbia comes in the seventh, gives up a solo shot to Julian. And then in the eighth, our guy Steven Wilson giving up a homer to Carlos Santana on a sweeper. It's those pesky right-handed sweepers to a left-handed batter, just stayed in the middle of the plate and was fat for Carlos Santana. And then Miranda on a fastball up and in took him out after he saw a fastball in on the first pitch too. So just, I mean, interesting pitch selection there, you know, throwing into Miranda and then throwing into Miranda again. We hear that this team, you know, can hit fastballs, and the White Sox are out here throwing fastballs to the Minnesota Twins. What did you expect? Herb, before I go back to the offense, because there are moments where the White Sox left 12 runners on base that we get to talk about. Do you want to address the Jordan Leisure thing there, or where he replaces Banks and looks all right?
Yeah, I first guessed it. Like right when Jordan Leisure left the game, he threw a fastball to Santana, one out, or double play there, and then threw two strikes and one ball to the next batter. Four pitches. The end of the sixth inning. Looked good, too. And I was like, okay, only four pitches. Let's get him right back out there and use him for the seventh inning. That does two things, where he gets more work in there, where four pitches is not enough work for a guy like him. And then also, he's been looking good this year. Might as well not use the rest of the bullpen. You can save the Brebbias and the Steven Wilsons for the eighth if you need them. Instead, he brings in Brebbia right there, who worked yesterday. And, you know, Brebbia gave up that home run to Julian. That result is not necessarily because Pedro didn't put him in, but I would have liked to see the youngster back in out there, because four pitches, that wasn't the expectation for him to go out there and just throw four pitches and then sit down. You use your weapons as they are supposed to be used, and to keep that game at 3-2 at that seventh inning would have been vital and clutch, because the game ended at a 6-3 game. But I think you also don't have to have in Steven Wilson in the eighth inning, where he gave up those two home runs back to back. If you keep Leisure in the game and then maybe he runs into trouble, then you can bring in either Steven Wilson or Brebbia in the seventh to replace Leisure. But I just thought it was a short hook for the kid with only four pitches on the game. And then you can you could have extended these guys and not had Steven Wilson pitch for, what, the third game in a row? It's way too much. So I first guessed that he should have kept him in. The results turned out to be in my favor. I think that Pedro should think about these things next time. Like, with only four pitches, you got to learn that this kid is rolling, and we should maybe have him in there instead of a veteran out there that has already pitched yesterday and is coming off an injury too.
Well, I mean, I can guarantee you Pedro thought about those things. He obviously ended up making a different decision. My guess is that Jordan Leisure wasn't supposed to pitch at all. Tanner Banks obviously followed up Michael Soroka's two home runs. He faced three batters. He gave up hits to all of them. Tanner Banks didn't do his job today, right? And so I think that would be my guess, is that Leisure was probably not pegged to be in this game at all, or was supposed to pitch the seventh inning. Had Tanner Banks done what he was supposed to and got out of it, and then the game changed. Because remember, the White Sox identify kind of the parts of the lineup that they want their relievers to face well before the game starts. And so I think that that would probably be the explanation. That being said, Herb, Jordan Leisure can do that job. Jordan Leisure has shown, and Pedro has used him in that way, where he's brought him out for another inning, right? And so it's not like, he got up, and even though it was only four pitches, we can't, you know, we've already burned him kind of thing. You know what I mean? He obviously can do that job. And in a close game, maybe that's the idea. Maybe it's because they went from being tied to being down. That might have played something into the decision-making there. Obviously, I'm not in Minnesota. I'm sure they're asking him that up there, or might be asking him something like that up there right now. But those would be my guesses based on what we've heard from Pedro in the past.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not super interested in the explanation. He didn't pitch him, and the White Sox lost. And I probably would have liked to see Leisure, but also I mean, you're spot on that the other guys need to do their job. It's just about as simple as that. I mean, even if we see Michael Kopech go out there, it's not like I'm going to have trust in Michael Kopech. I mean, and he's supposedly their best guy in the bullpen right now. It's just not a bullpen that has, you know, anyone who's truly rock solid. I mean, they paid Brebbia $5 million, and he's going out there and giving up a homer. And I know he's, you know, coming off an IL stint. I'm not saying that too slanderously, but they're just not getting results from any part of the team so far. And speaking of that, let's do some ad breaks here because we're a little bit past 15 minutes. Why don't we let you know about our friends over at Ray CDJR. Are you in the market for a new vehicle? If you are, then we have some great news for you. Our partner Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram in Fox Lake is celebrating the Jeep Celebration event all month long. And do you know what that means? You'll be able to rave about their savings on a wide selection of inventory for a limited time. Lease a new 2024 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo Altitude for $439 a month for 39 months. And if that Grand Cherokee isn't big enough for you, check out the third row and lease a new 2024 Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited L for $479 a month for 39 months. At Ray CDJR, you'll always be able to shop one of Chicagoland's largest inventories and drive home with more money in your pocket than you'd expect thanks to the Ray's price promise. And don't miss out, shop great deals all month long and save big because Ray CDJR makes buying a new vehicle more affordable than ever. And that's not all. Just for listening, you can get a free oil change when you mention CHGO at the service center or mention CHGO when you book online at RayCDJR/service. But you have to schedule before April 30th. So if you're in the market for a new vehicle, then you have to check out the team at Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram because they are the only team we recommend. Visit them today on Route 12 in Fox Lake. For more information, visit Ray CDJR in Fox Lake or RayCDJR.com. Serving the community since 1963. And Vinny, if you're taking up Route 12, you could probably take it a little bit north to Wisconsin.
Take it all the way across the border. Why don't you take it all the way up to Chippewa Falls and get yourself as much summer shandy that can fit in the back of your Grand Cherokee? The fine folks at Line and Kugel's have gone and they've taken beer and they've taken lemonade and they've smashed them together and they've created a delicious beverage that you can enjoy all summer long. Whether you're going over to the lake the Cubs must be doing something. There's a lot of screaming. Whether you're going over to the lake to have a picnic, whether you're going down to the rate to have a tailgate, whether you're going up to Wisconsin, as previously mentioned, you are going to want as much summer shandy as you can have because it is delicious. Of course, if you want something different, well, Liney's got you covered there too. Lakeside Cherry, Sunset Wheat, Berry Vice, Honey Vice, Real Wisconsin Bees Herb. And so you're going to want to get your hands on any and all Liney's varieties that you possibly can. So, guys, flavor life's simple moments with Liney Kugel's, the official craft beer of the Chicago White Sox. Go to liney.com/CHGO to find delivery options near you. That's LEINIE.com/CHGO. Or pick up Liney Kugel's pretty much anywhere they sell beer. Liney Kugel's, flavor the moment. Celebrate responsibly. The Jacob Liney Kugel Brewing Company, Chippewa Falls.
Yes. All right, let's talk a little bit more about this offense. No. Did Hawk used to do that? You guys remember when Hawk used to go like, no.
Did sure. Did do that sometimes.
Did he?
Every once in a while, he'd let out a no.
No, I think yes is a little bit more memorable.
No, anyways. No.
There it is. That's true. That's the Hawk tone I needed.
Human soundboard over here for your all your Hawk needs.
Yeah, we have a soundboard at the office. I know. I think it's right over there where you're sitting. I think we should just. I think if you start pressing buttons or enough buttons, you'll probably be able to get some Hawk drops. Anyways, end of the fourth. Let's talk about that. Sox get the bases loaded. Corey Lee hit a single out to left field on a changeup, and this is after DeYoung's RBI single. So then DeYoung moves to second, Lee to first, and then Lopez hit an infield. Single to Julien, and Nicky Lopez would have caught it, but as Steve Stone pointed out, Edward Julien is no Nicky Lopez in the field, so Lopez reaches there, and then Mendick is unfortunately grounds out with the bases loaded, and that's the end of the threat there in the fourth. And then in the eighth, first and second with no outs, the Sox were able to get on and threaten. You have Aloy with a single, and then Grossman with a walk, and then Vaughn brutally. Even though he had a pretty decent day, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, he gets caught looking at a fastball right down the middle. And then our clutch hitter, Andrew Benintendi, pinch hits for Kevin Pillar. He gets a 2-0 count to start off. And then I think Thielbar notices, hey, I can just throw strikes to this guy. And he gets three straight strikes, and Benintendi goes down with a K. And then DeYoung comes up, and he has a first pitch ground out that neutralizes that first and second threat with no outs. And then in the ninth, the Sox get the bases loaded. You have Lee shooting a single the other way. Then Lopez had a quick double play that was then challenged and overturned. Lee was out at second, Lopez at first, then Mendick walk, Sheets had a hit by pitch, and then there was a mound visit where the first pitch was a bad ball and a slider, and they're like, okay, don't do that again. And then he did it exactly again and hit Gavin Sheets. And then Aloy comes up, Griffin Jacks comes out of the bullpens for the Twins. Aloy strikes out, then Grossman sneaked a ball through first base to make it 6-3, but then Vaughn grounds out and ends the Sox chances there. A little messy there on my part, but a long way to say the White Sox didn't score any runs, except for, I guess, the Grossman RBI. So I'm rambling at this point. Why don't you take it over, guys? And the White Sox really didn't capitalize, going 3-for-13 with runners in scoring position.
I mean, hey, I guess that's kind of, you know, you don't want to say that that's a positive because it isn't. They didn't capitalize nearly enough on the chances that they did have. But we're used to watching this team so far in April this season not having those chances at all. And so putting guys on base is something, but it's not the something that anybody was looking for on the White Sox side of things. Listen, this has been a problem for this offense for years now. You know, the hitting with runners in scoring position, the capitalizing on these scoring chances, it seems like a recurring theme. And this dates back to before Pedro was even the manager, right? We had Tony La Russa talking about a lot of the same stuff in his second year. So I think that, you know, it's just another thing to go wrong for this offense. Kind of that same theme that we were on earlier in the week when it was like, hey, even when some things did go well, even when, you know, they put guys on base, even when Michael Soroka had five really good innings, even when some things did go well, heck, they played really good defense today. Even when some things did go well, they're still losing a game by three runs that were, or it would have been four if not for the one there in the ninth inning. They're swept. The road trip is completely winless, and they have the worst run differential in baseball. You know, nothing seems to be able to go right, even when some things go right for this team.
And I want to go back to that Vaughn striking out looking on a fastball right down the middle. Like, what are you looking at? Why are you getting fooled by a fastball down the middle? It's just the wrong plan. Like, it's two strikes. You're supposed to be protecting anything, no matter what, that's close to the plate. And the guy's like, okay, I'm just going to give it up to you. And here's a ball. Hit it as far as you want to. Vaughn's like, oh, man, it's a great game to watch. Oh, that's a strike. Oh, thank you, guys. I'll just go and sit myself on the bench. To me, that's just lack of knowing and lack of knowing that you have two strikes and lack of being aggressive in the count. And I don't know what Vaughn is going through. I don't know what Benintendi is going through, but their heads are not in the game. They're not doing what needs to be done. And I think today's benching, and I'll call it that, by Andrew Benintendi, or by Pedro Grifol of Andrew Benintendi, was exactly that. He already got sat down on Monday, and he gets sat down again on Thursday. I think that was intentional to show that, hey, what you did on Wednesday night wasn't acceptable. And Vaughn probably needs a rest, even though he had a 2-for-5 game. But you just read two opportunities to get the drive some runs in, and he strikes out looking, and then he swings at the first pitch to ground out weakly to second base to end the game. Both those guys need to get out of their own heads and get to work offensively. Like, I keep on hearing John Triffin saying, when these guys are working hard, maybe you don't need to not work hard anymore. Need to work smart instead, because you're working way too hard, because the results are not there yet. The process is flawed with Andrew Vaughn not swinging at that ball that's right down the middle. I don't understand what his explanation would be on that one.
Sarah's reminding you to hit that like button. So if you are watching and haven't hit the like button yet, make sure you're hitting that like button. I hear you, Herb. And I hear you about the Shriffin point when, you know, you bring up work, and again, you know, it doesn't show up on Fangraphs, so they suck. But I don't know. I don't hate that part of Shriffin's broadcast, especially you heard it with the Pilar stuff, and he ends up hitting a sacrifice fly, and the work that Marcus Thames is doing with the Sox. The fact that, you know, during spring, Marcus was like, hey, what are the three things that you feel best about your swing when you're completely right? And, you know, John was mentioning the personal hitting coaches that most of these guys have, and that Marcus is like, I don't want to overstep anything, but if you need to ever talk to me, I'm here for you and try to fix something. And Pilar went to him and was like, hey, how do I fix my swing? And they noticed that his bat was starting a little bit earlier, and And what do you know? Hey, Pillar hits a homer last night, and then he's able to elevate and drive in a run today for the Sox. So I get the point. And I even hear it. I mean, yesterday it's kind of nauseating to be like, oh, Benny was hitting a lot of great stuff in batting practice. And like, we heard the same thing in Cleveland as well. So I get why that's droning, but I don't know. I think that part of the game, John's truly putting the effort in there. Like, I thought it was fun when he said he was uncomfortable still going up to guys and not wanting to disrupt their routine. Like, that's good openness. Like, I don't know if you have dealt with that, Vinny, or you dealt with that when you were first doing baseball, but like, it's got to be weird to be like, hi, Robbie Grossman, what do you think about switching, hitting from both the right and the left side? Like, I don't know. I like that from John. So I get that point, because sometimes it could be a little bit too much, but I did think he gave good context with at least Pillar.
Yeah, I mean, I think here's the thing. I think people are so tired of hearing from these guys, be it Pedro or the players themselves, in the middle of all these struggles that they don't really – that a lot of them just kind of tune out what the actual content of what they're saying is. And it's that old thing that I say all the time, right? Multiple things can be true. You can work your ass off, and you can have no success. You know what I mean? Like, it's just – those are two things that can happen at once. And, you know, whether we want to chalk it up to the – Sean, again, to the talent on the roster, the talent level, or just the fact of, you know, a really bad stretch at the moment for not just one guy, but 26 of them, it seems like, you know, there are things that can happen that make your that make your results bad, even if your process, Herb, to use the terminology that you use all the time, is close to what it's supposed to be. Right. And so, I mean, you can go out. I mean, I'll tell you, I see them before every home game. They are. It's not like they're like phoning it in. They're not out there just like, oh, whatever, I got to be here, so I'll swing at a couple batting practice pitches. You know, like, they're doing everything that a winning team does in terms of the work that they're putting in, but it's obviously not producing the results. And so I don't think anybody's probably willing to hear that.
Yeah, it's a tough team to hear a narrative of how hard they're working when they are literally one of the worst teams in baseball history. We'll get to that in a second. We got to take a break, though, and let you know about some of our great sponsors, like our friends over at Prize Picks. With the MLB season up and going, don't miss your chance to add your favorite players from the diamond into your prize pick entries. Whether it's strikeouts, RBIs, or first inning runs, take your pick of more or less and add them to your prize picks entry today. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America, and they are the easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. It's just you against the numbers, and instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you just pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. I did have one of those entries win for me, and they had a boosted prop for Nikola Jokic for him to score more than half a point. And that easily cashed as he scored 27 on Monday against the Lakers. And I also took more points for LeBron than 19.5, and he scored 26. So, hey, there's a winning entry for you. Get in on the playoff action, too, as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during the basketball's postseason. So check out our friends over at Prize Picks. It's really simple to play. You can make your picks and submit your entry in less than 60 seconds. So go check out prizepicks.com/CHGO and use the code CHGO for a first deposit match up to $100. And they also offer weekly promotions that could lead to big payouts. They currently are running the discounted Glizzy promotion. So that's prizepicks.com/CHGO and use code CHGO. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. I wanted to see if I can get a reaction from you guys. Nothing from discounted Glizzies, but okay.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm sure it's great.
Sounds good, Grandpa.
Glizzy is what they call hot dogs nowadays. The kids do. It's dumb. They just call them hot dogs. It's a longer
name. What does that have to do with hot dogs?
Yeah, just nothing.
Tell people about bacon.
Young people are dumb. Charlie the Bacon Guy is based out of Woodridge, Illinois, and he makes craft bacon and bacon jams with over 35 different flavors. Bacon and bacon jam are all naturally cured, preservative-free products. No ingredients that Charlie can't pronounce himself are involved in the process, unlike most store-bought bacon, ascorbate and sodium ascorbate, for example. They're vacuum sealed and freeze perfectly. Bacon lasts in the package for up to 60 days in the fridge, and 1 week after the seal is broken, and then 9 months in the freezer. Bacon jam lasts about 90 days in the fridge and up to 1 year in the freezer. But if you're keeping the bacon in the freezer, you're doing it wrong. You can also check out awesome merch on charliethebaconguy.com. They have beanies, hats, t-shirts, stickers, coffee mugs, etc. And the bacon jam goes perfectly on everything. Scrambled eggs, toast, crackers, burgers, grilled cheese charcuterie boards, cinnamon rolls, pizza, or Charlie's favorite, the spoon. And the Bacon Vault, it's got all the flavors that Charlie's made in the past. If it's currently not available, give Charlie about 2 weeks and he'll make it for you. Some of the flavors that he's making right now are ranch, rosemary, vanilla bourbon, maple espresso, Cajun, jardinera, and the new item, Canadian bacon. And the bacon jam flavors are...
Eduardo Julien loves Canadian bacon.
Sorry.
That was good enough. Bacon jam flavors are original bourbon and cherry jalapeno. But starting now, you could save 10% on your order at charliethebaconguy.com when you use the code CHGOSOX at checkout. You can pick it up, which is the most efficient way for you, or it can deliver it to you, meet you halfway, or even ship it to you. He makes the bacon so you can bring it home. You can follow Charlie on Instagram at charliethebaconguy, on Twitter, CZTheBaconGuy. The email is charliethebaconguy@gmail.com, or the website, as I said before, is charliethebaconguy.com.
You know, we had some Canadian on Canadian violence today. Michael Soroka is Canadian, so Julianne homering off of Soroka is an all Canada home run right there.
Just like when Brett and Owen Hart faced in WrestleMania 10.
What'd you say? The All Canada Show.
Oh, you did one of your favorite jingles.
Yes, I think they're from two different provinces, like way apart from each other. I think Soroka's from Vancouver or British Columbia, and I think Edward Julien is from, of course, Quebec.
From coast to coast.
Mm-hmm. Calgary. What are they? Space Ghost? So he's from Calgary, Soroka.
Oh, Alberta? That would be Alberta.
Yeah. From Alberta. Oh. From Calgary.
Okay. And then where's Julien from? Montreal?
Yeah, I think he's a Quebecer.
Well, he's from Quebec, obviously, but I don't know what city he's from. Let's look that up.
Quebec. Well, guess what? He's from Quebec City.
There you go.
There you go. Okay. All right. We had a Flames on Nordiques matchup here in NHL 93. Okay. Anyways, talking about Soroka, before we get into other stuff like Herb's new nickname for Pedro, zero whiffs for Soroka. He started off kind of poorly. I know that the second inning was efficient with 14 pitches, but through his first eight batters face, he only had two first pitch strikes. That evened out a little bit as the game went on. I believe he ended up around 8 first pitch strikes on 15 batters. So it picked up a little bit, but zero whiffs for Soroka. And you can see the final line, five innings pitched, two earned runs, four hits, one K and two walks for Soroka. I know he was efficient there, but seeing the blow up like it happened in the six, I guess, wasn't too surprising because he wasn't really fooling anyone. It was just kind of weak contact and I guess storming them a little bit early in the count. It happened in the sixth inning where, you know, they smacked back early in the count with Jeffers and Julien. So not a great day from Soroka, even though it's only two earned runs, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's with results were good. You see the two earned runs and that was in the sixth inning. And you're like, OK, that outing was better than he usually does. But also, as you said, I think he started the game off with five straight balls, like walked the first batter with four straight and then just kind of got out of it because Minnesota wasn't doing well. Like, and he probably saw it. Like, they are not hitting my balls that hard right now. The wind's kind of blowing in and keeping these balls in. And so all I need to do is put them across the plate. So it's always a pitch to the score type of thing you can do where you're up 2-0. They're not having success versus your pitches. Don't change a thing. And then the sixth inning came when the Minnesota Twins attacked him a little bit more. But the 91-mile-per-hour fastball down the middle, you should expect that to get crushed. And then the hanging slider got crushed, too. So only two mistakes. But ultimately, as you read out the stats right there, if you're grading a pitcher on being effective and good, I think he was kind of mediocre today, even though he only gave up two earned runs.
All right. Good job, Calgary boy, Michael Soroka. We did hear that Mike Clevinger is going to be starting tonight for Charlotte. Is he Soroka at threat to losing a rotation spot at all?
I'd say no. I think Chris Flexen is currently in the rotation, right? He'll be pitching tomorrow when the White Sox come home to face the Tampa Bay Rays. I would imagine because he's already been removed from the rotation and shifted to the bullpen, however briefly, this season, that he would probably be the one to then go to that bullpen again once Mike Clevinger is ready. But they've surprised us already in sending Nick Mastrini down and sticking with Jonathan Cannon. So we'll see where they are when Mike Clevinger actually is ready to come up.
I know the expectation after the 7-game series is that Chris Getz will speak. Hopefully he addresses Chris Flexen and Michael Soroka and what the plan is for Nick Mastrini and Jonathan Cannon. Because I mean, Cannon's still slated to start. Seems like he's in the rotation, but it's odd that, you know, Cannon's up here and Nastrini's not. So I'll be interested to hear that, you know, explanation from Getz. We'll see what happens there, and Vinny will be at the ballpark tomorrow, so you can follow him at Vinny Duber for any updates there. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the 1988 Baltimore Orioles, the worst 25 games in Major League history. The 1988 Baltimore Orioles were 2-23. The 2022 Cincinnati Reds were 3-22, and the 2003 Detroit Tigers were 3-22. The White Sox join the 2022 Cincinnati Reds and the 2003 Detroit Tigers. The 2023 A's also had 3 wins too. So this is a team that ended up going 52-112. I don't know if that's the Sox fate, but this is
the last 3 seasons. There's been a 3-22 start.
Oakland was 5-20. So no, because I gave wrong information.
That's okay. Fine. But they're still bad.
Yeah, right. I mean, 10 of the worst starts in Major League history have come in the past 3 seasons. So it's a trend, I guess. This is the worst start in the first 25 games in White Sox history. Both the 1950 and 1948 teams went 5-19. And John Triffin mentioned that Gavin Sheets has been leaning on old Larry. Larry's boy is leaning on Pops, who was on the 1988 Orioles. Larry said that, remind yourself, Gavin, that you are just not a baseball player. So, I mean, that seems depressing.
It's good advice, though. I mean, it really is really good advice. Like, and I think you could offer that up to fans, too, right? Like, remember, you're not just a baseball fan. There are other things you like, I'm sure, too. So keep watching our show. But, you know, variety is the spice of life.
I mean, it's good ear to have of a Major League Baseball player. Firstly, just having that guy as your dad. And then your dad going through similar things, even though I think the Orioles were 0-22 to start that year and then won a couple games and got to their 2-23 record that they finished with in the 25 games. But yeah, it's a good lesson. And I think that team finished with 50 wins. Man, I think White Sox fans right now, you tell them, hey, White Sox going to finish with 50 wins. They're like, baby, let's go. That's a lot more wins than I expected, especially right now. I think they're trending to like 14 games if they keep on the same pattern, but we know that's not going to happen. But yeah, I think that's a good thing for Larry Sheets to say to his son. Like, you're more than just a baseball player, especially to Larry and his family. Like, you're our son. You're a valuable human being to this society. And yes, your team is not succeeding, but you're not a failure. The team might be failing, but you yourself are not a failure. I'm sure they take it home with them and they're not getting any solace. Their friends are texting them, hey man, y'all suck, type of things. You know, you hear that all the time, and I'm sure it wanes on these guys and it's hard on these guys. And I don't want to sound like I just want to pound on them when they fail, because as Vinny said, they are humans and they're gonna take this very hard. But yes, remember, at the end of the day, even though I want Pedro to be fired because he's deserved to get fired, I don't dislike the person. The person is fine. Like, I didn't dislike Rick Hahn. He was just bad at his job. And that's how I feel Pedro is.
I don't know what Gavin's outside likes are. He's got some pictures with some dogs on his Instagram.
He loves the Ravens.
Looks like he's gone hunting once, duck hunting once.
Loves the Ravens.
Yeah.
He quotes the Ravens.
You can show up tomorrow and be like, hey, what'd you think about the first round pick?
That would require me knowing what happens in the draft tonight past what the Bears do. So that's let's consider it a win that I know that the draft is tonight.
I'll shoot you a text. All right. The 1988 Baltimore Orioles went 54-107. The 2022 Reds that started 3-22, they went 62-100. Sox fans would take that. And the 2003 Detroit Tigers are pretty much the worst modern team outside of the early 60s Mets in their first seasons. They went 43-1. 119. So Herb, you mentioned 14 wins. I don't think it'd be that bad, but 43-119, I don't want to write that off as a possibility. All right, we do have a super chat from Antoine. Usually catch the post-game shows a day after at work, catching live now at work. Woo! CHGO, great job. Keep up the great content. Hard to watch games, but not the show. And we appreciate that, Antoine. Thank you for the message. Thank you for the super chat. And be careful watching us at work, even though it's getting close to 5 o'clock. So, hey, maybe you're out the door soon. I know it's our weekend. I guess Vinny's working on Friday, but he's off Saturday and Sunday. But Herb and I are off Friday and Saturday. You know, we get to take maybe a little solace from White Sox baseball. I'll still be checking. But I'll try to distance myself a little bit.
Yeah, this is going to be my first game I haven't watched tomorrow because I'm going to the Brewers Yankees game up there in the Great Land. So I'm going to be up in Milwaukee for the weekend, and then I'm join you on Sunday, Sean, to see the White Sox beat the Tampa Bay Rays for the third time in a row.
Oh wow, he's calling his shot. All right, Babe Ruth stepping into the plate here. Sox. Let's go into.
They've already done. They've already done the pattern. I'm good. I don't think they can win tomorrow and then lose eight in a row after that. It's going to be real tough for them to lose eight in a row, even though they've proven they can lose a lot in a row.
Again, it's going to reverse. They're going to win tomorrow, and then they're going to lose six straight. Then they're going to win, and they're going to lose five straight. So, you know, it's going to be a reverse pattern. It's going to be 5 o'clock somewhere soon, Antoine. Keep pushing. Keep grinding. All right. Let's talk about Andrew Vaughn, Tommy Pham, and then Herb's new nickname for Pedro Grifol, and then we'll get out of here. Vaughn had a okay day. Obviously, we talked about his bad strikeout when the bases were loaded. No, sorry, when it was first and second with no outs in the eighth. But he had a diving stop, he had a stolen base, and he had two hits. One of them was a gapped double. Did you like anything from Vaughn's day, Herb?
Oh, yeah, that double, he looked like the old Vaughn. Drove it to right field, looked really aggressive in that count, and he looked confident. And hopefully these little drips and drabs you're getting from Andrew Vaughn, where you see some of the old guy in there, is going to be more constant. But even his good day, he's still hovering around 175 on the batting average, hasn't really drove anybody in a long, long time, and he's had opportunities to do it. And so, yeah, I think that this, and I looked like he was dropped from the lineup too. Usually he's like 3 or 4 or 5. I think he was batting 6 today. And so I think that the comeback for Andrew Vaughn is on the way, but it might take another week before he's back to being Andrew Vaughn that we recognize, because we know that's in there somewhere, but it's just got to be unlocked.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, they always say, you know, it only takes one. Some guys even say it only takes, you know, it doesn't even have to be hit hard. It just needs to sneak through the infield kind of thing. Vaughn had a few hits in this series. And I think, you know, maybe that is the key that unlocks things, is that he doesn't have to look up and see that he's, what, 3 for 70 or whatever it was when it was getting real bad there. You know, he's got some hits the last few days that in itself could make things better for him. But hey, we always talk about too, when you're struggling at the plate, there's other ways to make contributions. That play he made at first base was fantastic today. You know, if you're going to be doing that at the plate, then you better help find another way to help out. And he was able to do that on the defensive side.
Yes, he was. We'll see if he can continue to help out. I don't think that optioning him to Charlotte is going to end up happening. Again, this is a year for development for everybody. I don't think demoting him will do him much good, if anything. So we'll have, maybe he's snapping out of it, and maybe we'll see some growth here from Andrew Vaughn coming up. All right, let's talk about Tommy Pham. It's a player that was brought up on the broadcast today, and it's an interesting day for Tommy Pham, not because he's a huge Bears fan and is excited about Caleb Williams, but Bob Nightingale tweeted out when this deal was signed that Pham can request his unconditional release anytime on/after April 25th if the White Sox do not add them to their major league roster within 24 hours of his request. So let's talk about who would leave this roster. I don't know if it's interesting that Grossman and Pilar were both playing, maybe to get them some time out on the field and be like, hey, look what we can do. Maybe another team will pick us up. Or if this would mean Dominic Fletcher going down, because we hear that Tommy Pham's working out in center field in Charlotte per James Fegan. I think Grafal mentioned that. So what do we think about this date, April 25th? Does that mean Tommy Pham's going to be up for the Rays series? Or is this something that when Tommy Pham's ready, the Sox will oblige his request and add him to the roster when he's ready?
Well, who knows if he even ends up having to make any sort of request. I would imagine that they've already laid out a plan. I think that is probably a safety net part of that agreement that they made that was like, hey, Tommy Pham shows up to camp and shows up to Arizona and is not ready to play and is not something that the White Sox want to do. It allows him an out so he doesn't have to stay at AAA all year, you know, just waiting for an injury to happen or something like that. So, you know, I think maybe some folks might be making a bigger deal out of it than it is. I'm sure, and I'm not just sure, that we've been told, right, that they plan and they hope to have him on the roster should everything go well. And so far we haven't heard that anything wasn't going well from a physical standpoint. So I would imagine he'll be here relatively soon. I don't know if that means tomorrow or not, but I don't think we need to worry about this part of the contract being, you know, enacted or anything like that. I think it was a situational ad there, and I don't think that situation is going to happen. The White Sox need offense. They signed him to provide offense. He's going to be on this big league team relatively soon, so I don't think he needs to worry about making any sort of requests to leave the minor leagues, because he is just in a basically what is a rehab assignment right now. And if that needs to stretch through the weekend, I'm sure they've communicated that with him, and they're going to add him to the roster, the big league roster, when the time comes. As for who is going to go, you would think he would take the spot of a guy, a veteran player like a Pilar or a Grossman. You bring up Fletcher, and it doesn't make any sense to me why they would send Fletcher down. But we haven't been seeing an overwhelming amount of Dominic Fletcher at the big league level, or I should say in the starting lineup in recent days. Maybe that just has to do with matchups. And Fletcher ended up being kind of that platoon guy that we were guessing maybe he would be after they got him in the offseason. But right now, I guess they could go any direction. Certainly, Pham needs to be added to the 40-man when he does end up coming up to the major league team. So there is going to have to be moves, not just to boot somebody from the 40 or from the active roster, but to boot somebody from the 40-man roster as well.
And also, the center field thing kind of throws me off, but I know he has to play that because Gavin Cheese is getting his at-bats in right field now, and you're never going to move Andrew Benintendi, even though he's been benched twice this week. But somebody has to play center field. Huh?
Did you not see who was in center field for that eighth inning?
I did.
And I was who was in hoping and praying and wishing a ball was hit out to?
I did. It was terrible. I mean, if they did that more often and had him in center field and had Tommy Pham in left, I think that would be probably the better of the options. Yeah, it would. I mean, I think
that man, Andrew Benintendi, is so much slower. I will take 36-year-old dad Tommy Pham over Andrew Benintendi in center field. Tommy Pham is wired differently. That man is just crazy, insane. Yes. That guy's still athletic at 36.
Yeah, but you don't want him to be patrolling center field. And I know that Andrew Benintendi will have to. Yes, you don't want him either. But you put him there today. I think that you probably have a better chance of having people getting thrown out from left field if you have Tommy Pham out there, but they have to keep Andrew Benintendi in left field. So I guess the only option for Tommy Pham is to play center field for the White Sox, which is not ideal.
Yeah, and I think that means Pilar will just be the odd man out. We saw him be kind of get a wonky kick off the team around spring training, and then he was brought back onto the team. But I think just seeing him in the past 2 days, that's more of, hey, if anyone is interested in Kevin Pillar, he could still play center field and we trust him. And hey, look at his home run and his sacrifice fly. There's still something in that old silk hat we found. So I think it will likely be Pham and Fletcher being the new center field platoon. That's just my feeling. I think it'd be odd to send down Fletcher because I don't think he's been doing poorly. And I think he's kind of thrusted into a difficult situation having to play center field when he thought he would be the right fielder. And we've seen defensively, like, it's not always been the nicest routes to the ball. And we have been watching a Gold Glover in Luis Robert Jr. play center field. So anyone compared to Luis Robert Jr. will be worse. But I don't think there's been anything like too egregious on Fletcher's half when it comes to center field defense. So I think that Pillar getting DFA'd and off this team and Pham replacing him probably be the move. But that's just my guess. I think that it's welcome, though, for sure, just because you could see that Aloy coming to this team has kind of given them a little bit of a boost offensively. We've seen a couple runs scored here now. Woohoo. I think there's probably less of a threat that they'll be shut out 8 times in 22 games now with Aloy back in the lineup and Pham coming up. But I think that it will probably be after the Rays series. I think we got 3 more days of Kevin Pillar. And for that Tampa Bay Rays series, we got Flexen and Eflin on Friday, Cannon versus Savale on Saturday. Evan Herb and I will recap Fetty versus Zach Littell on Sunday. Eflin is in his past 2 starts against the White Sox, 10 innings pitched, 9 hits, 3 earned runs, 2 walks, 9 Ks, and 2 home runs. Savale, since 2022, this is both as a Guardian and as a Ray, 3 games started, 12 innings pitched, 9 hits, 2 earned runs, 3 walks, 7 Ks, and 100 pitches in his last 2 games. So I think if anyone's going to be no-hitting the White Sox or shutting them out, it might be on that Savale day, just because he knows them well, and he's looked all right so far now going from the Guardians to the Rays. So I don't think this is going to be a nice, fun series for the White Sox. I think it's another loss of a series. I say they take Sunday, though. So I'll say Sox lose Friday, Saturday, and we recap a win on Sunday, Herb. Does that sound nice?
I mean, no, but yes.
Ruin Herb's pattern.
It would.
That's true.
So they got to win.
I guess Friday. I got to pick a Friday win for the pattern.
Damn right. F Zach Eflin. We're standing behind our guy, Chris Flexen. L.
Are you standing behind your guy, PDG?
Oh, yeah. That's my guy, PDG. I mean, he should embrace it. Get that.
Are you going to call PDG to his face tomorrow, Vinny?
No.
It's not going to disrespect him like that. He should do that glow up like Matt Eberflus. Get a nice beard going. Get your hair all up. I know he doesn't have any hair, but, you know, get a nice glow up. Because that right now respects Matt Eberflus. PDG, on the other hand, not so much.
So this is a disrespectful nickname. This is something.
That's just Pedro, Pete, G, Grafal. Easy.
PDG is PDG. Who is PDG? I don't know. Like, did you ever hear of Alex G? Is he writing an album here? What's going on? I mean, with PDG, this feels like a persona, a character.
I hope it's a different persona that he's shown already, because the manager is not good. I want PDG to take over and just be a little bit more loose. This team is not reacting to whatever he's saying. They're not good. And as he probably have to take the L for this whole season, even though he's probably not even responsible for all these losses, except for what I brought up today and the other day, where he could have used better judgment in his bullpen usage.
Yeah. All right. We'll wrap this up. Vinny will be at the ballpark tomorrow. So follow him at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. He'll be chatting with Chris Getz. That was Herb Lawrence. You can follow him at Eckernall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. Thank you to everyone for hanging out with us, like Leonard, who says, hey, y'all, Southsider, still waiting to stand up. And Jared, my guy, saying Triffin, what's wrong with Benny out in center field? He can't close in on a ball in center field. Do you think he's going to, or left field? Do you think he can play center field? That's a much more difficult position. Anyways, thank you to Sarah for producing the show. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson. We will talk to you on Sunday. Happy Caleb Williams Day. Goodbye. We all silly like the mayor.